90 seconds only remaining in this game. Jonas Blass at the huge numbers. The fist from Dixon at the back. The Tigers are lined up though. Bolter to Hooley. He curls it in. He's got a mark from Cochin, who slips to the right. He heads for Revolt and Lynch. Allaire is there to intervene. Castagna couldn't the first time off the ground. And was there pressure on Robbie Gray? The umpire says.
Immediate pressure.
Well, that'll be debated tomorrow.
You know, with 2 minutes to go, you don't want to be making controversial calls as an umpire, but that was a genuine handball.
11-13-79 plays 11-11-77. 2 points the difference. 66 seconds remaining.
What a pity there's no Midday Madness tomorrow. That would have been amazing. Richmond fans up in arms, surely. That's going to be talked about a bit. Richmond have one last chance. There's 55 seconds left. Houston dropping back with the flight, takes the mark at half back. So Port Adelaide by 2 points. 79 plays 77. Houston at centre half back, heads wide to Cleary. Richmond are going to have to man up now. 35 seconds left as Cleary back pedals at half back. He's on defensive 50. He waits. Used the full allotment, told to go. Now he has to kick down the line to a contest on the wing. It's wide, boundary side. Drew's taken the mark, and that should be game over. Will and Drew, bittersweet pitches for Port Adelaide. Dersma with a knee injury that looks severe, but Port Adelaide should win it. Drew to half forward, 6 seconds left. High bomb, off hands, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. This crowd's going to go crazy. Port Adelaide win. They've beaten the reigning premier 79-77. 11-13 to 11-11.
But just looking at his body language, I suspect that is a serious knee injury. He's certainly still in pain as his teammates were trying to get around him, and feels like he wants to be anywhere else but in front and centre with the cameras. Hopefully we're reading it wrong and hopefully he's okay, but it doesn't look good. Ken Hinckley makes his way down. He's got hands in his head. He's limping back out there is Dersma. But he played some good footy tonight, Xavier Dersma, but he could be staring at a serious knee injury. 33,742. It was a dramatic game, a lot of mistakes, but as the main thing is different to, well, a couple of things different from the preliminary final, there's not a grand final on the back of it next week, and this time it was Port Adelaide that won rather than Richmond. Justin Leppich.
Yeah, I thought they were actually the better team throughout the day. I thought they gave themselves more opportunity early. They just didn't capitalise. They even had 3 or 4 shots go out in the full as well. So I thought they had control of the game in the most part. They won the centre clearance battle, which got them territory, which mean Richmond had to travel the extent of the ground to get their scores. So I thought all in all they were the better team on the day.
It's a gallant victory when you look at what happened throughout the game in Butters, Fantasia, Rosie and Dersma. All those young players were dealing with injuries, so for them to be able to, Dersma was late, but for those three players, Butters was off early, but for Rosie and Fantasia to continue on when you were injured, knowing that how much the win meant to this young side was brilliant. They showed good fight. Their pressure was up all night. And you come up against the reigning premiers in a famous victory over at Adelaide Oval. It was tight. It was tense. It wasn't the most pretty game from a ball movement point of view, but you've got to understand that both of these sides apply really good pressure, and it's really hard to get easy outs. And then it came down to two important plays in the last quarter that involved a young kid in Drew.
Yeah.
The tackle that he laid, and then that mark, that long kick down the line, that he marked, and they were two really important plays from a young player.
Now, I know one thing Damien Hardwick always bangs on about is it may not be your day, but it may be your moment, and that's what Drew did twice in that last game. He didn't have a big influence on the game, but he did when it mattered at the very end.
Travis Pope being interviewed by Mark Soderstrom in the middle of the ground. And some sort of light show going on, Duane. Pretty similar to when you go up playing at Elbleton, this sort of stuff.
Yeah, they'll all be headed out the back to the bar very shortly, the Port fans, and celebrate it long and hard, you would think. But the interesting part, in some respects, is going to be how Port come out of this game injury-wise. Kenny would be more than happy to take the win, but if you could offer him a fit Dersma for the rest of the year,
that's a good question.
And a loss, he'd probably take the loss, because that's a big loss if you've lost Dersma for the year.
Absolutely, and this is what happens. This is what affects your premiership tilt. All these things go into the mix, okay? Lose a player for 3 weeks, not so bad. Lose him for eight, at least you get him fresh at the end of the year. But whenever you have season-ending injuries to good players this time of the year, it can really affect your tilt on it.
And we're guessing at the moment, obviously, but his own body language gave us an indication that he fears the worst. And the doctor did check it. So the doctor checks for how lax it is, whether it's got more movement compared to your other leg. And you're sitting there and you feel that it's got more movement than your other leg, then you're going to be concerned.
Yeah, his head was in his hands, wasn't he? You could see the tears that followed. So, I mean, you hope and you pray that he gets out of it okay, but it was certainly an ugly look the way that it all happened. And just trolling through the stats here, 61 inside 50s to Port Adelaide, only 49 Richmond. So you just feel like they missed some opportunities early. Their efficiency going inside forward 50 was probably an issue. One clearances by 12. Centre clearances, Richmond actually came back and did okay only in the 14-11. Then the stoppage clearances, they won by 9. But the contested possessions, you look at the contested possessions number, Port Adelaide by nearly 40. So as Leper alluded to before, they were just hard and tough around that contest, and it made it really hard for Richmond to be good in that part of their game.
And if you take into consideration too, that Trent Cotchin was the leading contested possession player with 18, and then the next five are Port Adelaide players, and then Shea Bolton with 9. So, they really as a team collectively owned that part of the game, and mainly done through the clearance component, but just a bit better in tight tonight, Port Adelaide.
Right, let's hear from Robbie Gray. He's been speaking to Channel 7.
Robbie Gray, mate, have a look around here at this crowd scene. What an unbelievable atmosphere.
Yeah, it's always our crowd always shows out. We knew they would. It's going to be a big game after, obviously, the prelim last year. We had a couple of good battles with them early in the year as well. So it was a really good performance by the boys. It was a tight one in the end. We probably missed a few earlier on in the game, and we knew they were going to find it right out.
Robbie, we know that you can kick a goal when you need to, and after a couple of misses early on for many boys, that one you nailed at the end, very confident?
Yeah, I was. I mean, you got to stay confident in your routine. I was able to do that, struck it pretty well, so I was happy it went through.
Just doing it at both ends too, just at the end there, just thought you might sneak that one through?
Yeah, it was obviously, we're on the pump there, so busted through, and we're able to sort of ice the game after that, which was good.
Obviously, Robbie, it was really important to bounce back from that performance last week. What was the week like coming into this game?
It was a pretty short week. We didn't get back for the following night from Perth, so we reviewed it pretty strongly, though. We're off in a fair few areas, and West Coast were fantastic, but we set ourselves for this one, really wanted to bounce back, and it was pleasing to be able to do so.
Robbie, well done. Ice in the veins again tonight.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
So Mark Soderstrom there with Robbie Gray. 11-13-79 Port Adelaide to 11-11-77. 2-point victory to Port Adelaide, which leaves the Tigers on just 8 points in a percentage of 102, and they'll most likely lose their position, or potentially lose their position in the eight over the weekend. It's not certain, but they could over the weekend with other teams winning. So this will be sung with plenty of gusto, albeit, as Duane said, with a feeling of bit of sweetness around Xavier Dersma. 2, a successful debut for Lockie Jones. 17 disposals, so he can enjoy the spoils of victory. And the two young men that made their debut for the Tigers, Will Martin, who had 12 disposals, and old Ryan Nigel Mansell, who had 9 disposals for the Tigers. So, well, they have to pretend that they're unhappy, even though they've got through their, and I'm sure they are, but they got through their first game of AFL footy, so that's an achievement for them.
It is, and they did it, as we mentioned before, the call is that on a really hostile environment, you're not going to get any tougher situation than playing Port Adelaide or the Crows at this home venue, and you've got the crowd against you, you've got all this noise, and your concentration levels are low. It's a really difficult way to start your career, so things will get easier for them.
So 28 seconds to go, as it, I think it was Cleary that had the mark in that half-back flank. He could have played it back further in his defensive 50. He had 2 clear men. As a coach, would you rather him just kick it down the line with the potential that Richmond could win the ball back? Or are you, would you say, well, if your man is like 30 metres in the clear behind you, I'm happy for you to give up that territory?
No, I'm a long down the line man. I think even the long down the line early than that, they went backwards and backwards and probably lost 30 metres of territory, then went down the line, Port Adelaide. So I think that's always high risk in that time of the game. You always want to get territory late in the game as far as you can. So if the opposition do have to attack, they've got to attack from further back in the field. Every metre back you attack is harder to score. So if you turn it over in your forward 50, obviously it's only one kick, you score a goal. If you turn it over right on your opposition goal line, well, that's obviously 160 metres to go. So you want to take as much territory as possible to make it hard for them on the rebound.
You agree with that, Louis?
Yeah, totally agree, especially in that moment of the game. So we saw 2 clear examples. And you don't know that long kick down the line, whether you win it or lose it, that you're taking ground and it makes it much harder. You get those defensive layers in position and you go from there. But the decision that will come under probably the most scrutiny will be the rush behind.
Yeah.
Won't it?
It will. And what's our early instincts on it?
Well, I think in reading it, you've got to understand, does the player have prior opportunity? How much pressure?
Well, immediate pressure, I think, is
being applied, and the distance.
So he's within 9 metres, so that's fine. So if he does have immediate pressure, he is allowed to concede the behind. Yeah. But questionable whether that was immediate pressure.
So the question is, how far away was Jack Riewoldt, who was probably the closest player to Gray in that instance, and whether the pressure was ramped up and whether the player had opportunity to get rid of the ball. I think from looking at that, the player could have done more to keep the ball in.
Oh, no doubt. If that was your determination, the player could have done a hell of a lot more to keep it in.
Had he knocked it through, different story, but to have the time to take possession and handball it, so it really gives you the indication that you could have handballed it elsewhere.
Yeah, and therefore you're not under immediate pressure because you've handballed it cleanly into your target.
Yeah, with Wayne Origan, that's the clear differentiation between this particular one. If you're close and you get a fingertip on it and knock it through, that's fine. But if you can actually pick it up, you are literally true. If that is 3 metres to the left and he does that out of bounds, well, obviously it's very clear on what the rule is. So I think that just the fact that it was a clear possession overwards makes it look a little bit worse than what it is.
So that's potentially 2 weeks out of 3, isn't it, that we've had a non-decision late in the game.
Mm. Yeah, it's great for talkback radio.
essentially decide a match.
Footy's in good shape, though, isn't it? We were on the edge of our seat all night tonight to watch that contest.
It was a strange game, yeah, wasn't it, in a lot of ways.
So we're talking about, you know, what would you rather? I mean, what we're getting is the full spectrum. So we're getting these big scores and full forwards kicking 10, but also we're getting the other end of the spectrum with these hard dour slogs, and we're getting these pinball type contests as well, where you just don't know where to look next.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be hard for you guys to call that game too, because it does. It just goes from next to next to, and it's just really hard to catch a breath.
But in some ways, it's so much better to call than what we've had for the last decade. Where you're only getting one product.
Yeah,
you're getting that dour defensive product, not the full spectrum of products.
And now when you get a game locked away in a forward half for a while, that's okay. You're saying, you don't mind it for a while, as long as that's not what you get all the time.
I'm looking forward to seeing a game in rain tomorrow in Ballarat. It's going to be different. So you're going
to
get
update on the weather forecast, Wayne. It's now going to be 8 degrees tomorrow in Ballarat.
And rain. I want wind as well. I want
yeah, hang on.
I want and to see one wind. Team not able.
I want snow.
45 knot winds. 40 K winds.
It's a long way from Brisbane, isn't it? That yeah. They won't be wanting.
But haven't they been living in Ballarat? Although it's been 25 a week.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, we might knock off a few earlier categories.
and then continue to discuss the game in our AFL Nation post-game review. We'll no doubt head down to the Port Adelaide room shortly. It's all for Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legends in Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. And we've learnt a new category in football tonight too. It's the lepers list. It's the things you've got to tick off on your journey through.
You know what, though? That's a really good point Leper makes, in that Port Adelaide probably needed to win a game like this against a really good team, having to tough it out and prove their intestinal fortitude in a way to convince themselves that they're good enough, not just convince the, you know, nutters like us in the public.
Oh, you don't have to convince me, obviously, right? Yep. Because I'm the one who said it. The Hutto's been ribbing me all night about it. But I agree, it's a very important part to overcome. And all good teams have got to win games, win grand finals with a bit of an injury to them. So it's a really important step.
So we've got the Lewis Ledger and the Lepers list now.
In fact, did you rule out Brad Scott, was it, before the grand final, a little Todd Marshall-esque? For this game, did you? Was that before the bounce?
No, I don't think so.
You didn't? Okay. Did he have to pass a fitness test before the grand final?
Oh, Nigel Lappin did.
Nigel Lappin was punctured with the ribs.
The broken ribs that Acker told everyone on the Wednesday night. Right. So it wasn't really a secret.
All right, our Furphy Unbelievable Moments. Furphy Refreshing Ale. You're unbelievable.
Is that part of the script?
No, I still try that in.
For me, it came down to probably the last quarter, when you speak about Martin's goal, unbelievable moment. Robbie Gray down the other end, you know, both of those players had to kick goals in those instances to keep their sides in the hunt. And then probably the Drew tackle and the Drew mark were the four critical moments in the last quarter.
All right, that, as we said, is for Furphy. Now the MEGT Rookie of the Day, your local apprenticeship experts.
Yeah, I think there was three rookies that played. I mean,
three genuine rookies.
Yeah. And so what a game to kick off your AFL career in. And Mansell had the 9 disposals, did some okay things, but wasn't hugely influential. Will Martin probably the same in 12 disposals. But Lockie Jones was probably the one that stood out from the moment he ran on to get the cheers from the home crowd and the locks flowing and then to be able to back that up with some good decisions. He looked like he was not out of place in that game, which was finals-like, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd agree. He was definitely the best of the three rookies out there today that played.
MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. What about a goal of the game for instant windscreens? Broken windscreen, call Instant Windscreens 1-3-2-4-4.
I think you have to go past the Robbie Gray goal, don't you? I mean, I love Dusty Martin's goal. I think we've seen it so many times. We're just a little bit bored.
You're downgrading him because we've said it before.
I reckon he should hand out T-shirts to people. I've been fended by Dusty Martin.
Yeah, I like it.
There's about 600 of them, people walking around the streets in them. But
hey, now that's a great idea. Can we just work out a little share arrangement?
We've got patent it.
Why not? Why am I giving that on air?
Yeah, but
the Robbie Gray goal, obviously the clutch goal late in game to go back and nail it when your team's missed quite a bit throughout the game, which adds a bit more weight to that kick.
What other T-shirts could you come up with, Dwayne?
I like the big handprint below your Adam's apple of Dustin Martin with his fingerprints in it. Yeah, I like it. I think we can market
Don't tell anyone that, all right? We'll just secretly market
that. Fake tattoos on it
fake
as well.
Tattoos, all good stuff. The tackle/tackler of the game for Toro, count on it. That's Toro.
Well, there's probably two. I think Burn Jones, the rundown tackle that Burn Jones performed in the third quarter.
It was on a rookie, though. Does that count?
But that's okay. You've still got to perform the tackle, Anthony. But the one that stood out, and the one that was probably had the most impact on the result was Drew's tackle. Yeah. Late in the game. That was probably the reason why Port Adelaide are singing the song after the game, to be honest.
And the other T-shirt that needs to be made is I actually tackled Dustin Martin him holding the ball. Yeah, I actually can't remember who it was in the middle of the ground there.
That was Burn Jones, wasn't it, that tackled him holding the ball?
It wasn't Lockie Jones? They looked the same.
Yeah. Because Burn Jones was ragdolled last year in the prelim and got pushed aside at one stage.
I thought the surprise was not so much that he was caught holding the ball, more that he was paid holding the ball.
Ah, nice. What about I've been jumped on by Jeremy Howe? Could Jeremy Howe hand out some T-shirts?
Or Liam Ryan.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But you could have footprints on your shoulder for that. Oh, we've got a whole category going here.
Absolutely.
Why are we doing this on air? I don't know. For the home ground advantage, you can count on Toro. Bendix Brakes, big moment. Confidence stopping, that's Bendix Brakes. Very similar.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there was a few big moments.
Maybe it was the handball that wasn't paid deliberate.
Yeah. You could potentially go that. I mean, there was probably... Well, and that's why these games are so good, Hutto, because big moments that might seem insignificant throughout the match get heightened in the last quarter. So the dusty goal, the grey goal, the tackle from Drew, the handball that could have been paid deliberate, probably all fall under that category.
Indeed. I think I've awarded it to the Robbie Gray handball. Put your foot down with confidence. That's Bendix Brakes, because Louis just threw up four and couldn't come to a conclusion. Sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you.
I'll go with mine, and then we'll see who Leper thinks or if he agrees. I thought Jaden Short had a real say in tonight's game. And let me just run through a few of his stats.
So you've just gone to the stat sheet, have you, to come up with a sustained performer?
No, this is backing up my point.
Okay.
10 intercept possessions, 7 score involvements. Let me see his metres gained, 808 metres gained.
That's sustained. How many did any of them come from kickoffs?
With 31 disposals.
You take them. Can we minus any metres gained that's come?
I think about half of those come from the kicking with Shorty, but I thought he was terrific as well. I thought he was very influential. I actually really liked Bashir Hooley's game as well. I know there was times he sort of went to ground and he looked a bit like he was rusty at times, but his run continued throughout the game. I thought one big gap between Richmond's game last week and this week was both their halfbacks supplied a lot more run and overlap, which is what they needed in the game. But apart from that, I just thought the Port mids got to work. I mean, there's probably not one in particular from Boak or Wines that I really liked the most, but I just thought their contested nature of their game got them the meterage that needed to lock the ball away in Port's forward line.
Wines was big in the last quarter, wasn't he? As we said, as was Drew. Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. So Geordie going with Jaden Short despite his 7 turnovers. Unmissable moments for Drinkwise. Unmissable moments.
It wasn't the only one.
For Drinkwise. That's actually their tackles. That's a good point.
You saw the T and thought it was turnovers, tackles.
Unmissable moments for Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise.
Me belting you.
that's coming. Don't miss it.
I think if we watch tonight, and we've spoken about it, the beauty of tonight's game was not necessarily the flashy moments. It was a little toe pokes from Edwards and the Richmond players. It was a little, you know, spoils to the advantage of your teammate. It wasn't necessarily the high-flying acts that we've seen in the first three rounds. That was the beauty about the game for me tonight.
There was no one from either team that wasn't prepared to stand in the hole and take the bruise when it was their turn to take it. And boy, were there some times where you just had to stand there and know you were going to cop it. And it might end your night, but that was your job at that point in time.
Yeah, there'd be certainly some ice packs getting distributed in both change rooms at the moment. You're right. And that's the understanding, I suppose, when you're playing big games like this. You know what's required, and you cannot take an easy out. So that was the thing that was impressive tonight from both teams.
There's a casualty list for Port Adelaide. Our injury wrap for Sudoc's active muscular and joint pain relief cream. Follow the instructions for use. Let's work our way through it for Port Adelaide. There was Rosie with a cork thigh.
Yep.
There was Cleary with a cork thigh on Leper's list. Then
Aratio Fantasia
with a corked
foot. I reckon it might have been an ankle or a foot.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Butters, it was lower.
So Butters
lower
was
leg or
an
ankle
as well, we think. Mm. I think there was an ankle.
Yeah, or a lower leg, although he had tape around his calf for some reason at the end of the game, so whether that's something else.
Well, he wouldn't have played with it, unless it might have been a cork calf, I suppose. You wouldn't play with a...
Yeah, cork calf it could have been, perhaps, you're right.
Yep, and then, of course, the big one, Dersma, with what looks like a serious knee injury.
Yeah.
The one thing you hope about those is that they can just be a capsule. You know, you could just aggravate it so badly and, you know, that's the only thing you hope and pray. But when you see that hyperextension and it goes back sort of almost behind when the knee should be into that back half of your leg, it doesn't look good. But it can be minor, but we just hope and pray that it's not the worst possible scenario.
All right. We'll take a break, come back with the votes, which are coming up, some of those key stats for safety steel sheds designed to say built to last. There's a player that I'm really hoping Geordie puts in his 3-2-1.
Who is it?
I'm not telling you who it is. I want to see whether
Shorty,
whether you pick him or not.
Gee, there's another T-shirt. Who's been thrown under the bus by Hutto? Hand those out.
This is the AFL Nation post-game review for Hard Yakka. For a new breed of legends and Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. Dwayne's staying on an extra half an hour to make up for the his late arrival tonight. Back on AFL Nation for Hard Yakka after this.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Mate Communications. Award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from $20.
Wrap it up on AFL Nation for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends and Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. And, of course, we're going live to regional South Australia this evening so we can look ahead to Port Adelaide and Adelaide's matches over the weekend for Keno. Play Keno today, gamble responsibly. And, of course, Adelaide play on Sunday against North. Hopefully they'll have a win there. You can play Keno for only $1 a game, gamble responsibly. The 3-2-1 from Jordan Lewis for Port Adelaide's thrilling win over Richmond.
Oh, we've gone one vote to Basher Hooley. We thought he was great off halfback inclusion into the season this year, so he had a really good game. Two votes, Travis Boak. You asked me to put him in there, so I put him in there. So 29 disposals, 7 clearances, 2 tackles. He was one of the Port's best midfielders, but the 3 votes, we went to Jaden Short. So he was 31 disposals. He was involved everywhere in terms of Richmond's ball movement, intercept marking, tackling, everything he was involved in.
Okay, my man didn't get in, I'm afraid.
Who was it?
Ryan Burton.